As I'm sure you've noticed, the opinion polls have the gap narrowing between Labour and the Coalition. We've just seen the bungling of the multi-billion dollar home insulation scheme. But do you think this failure to deliver will become something broader in the election campaign about the size and reach of government? Tony Abbott's talking about winding back welfare. But bigger government's an international trend. The Economist magazine's grumpily complained that big government's back with a vengeance. So what do our two economists think? In the red corner is David Hetherington from the progressive think tank Per Capita. And speaking in defence of the free market in the blue corner is Oliver Hartwich, research fellow with the Centre for Independent Studies. Welcome to Life Matters, gentlemen.
Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Richard.
Oliver, the Economist's view that big government's back with a vengeance, what do you think?
Well, it looks like it. I mean, governments around the world have spent billions of dollars and pounds and yen and euros fighting the global financial crisis. And now a number of them are actually trying to fight their own fiscal crisis as a result of all of this.
Doesn't seem to matter whether they're centre-left or centre-right. They're all, to varying degrees, in the same boat.
Yes, and actually that's the fascinating thing about the responses to the global financial crisis, that throughout the OECD, countries have basically spent about the same proportion of GDP on fighting the crisis, and it didn't really matter on the political persuasions of these governments in question. They have all spent about the same. They have done roughly the same policies with different degrees of success.
David, I mean, governments, how much choice did they have with the GFC? I mean, did they have to do this, or could they have been a bit more cautious?
They had a choice. The orthodoxy would have said that old-fashioned fiscal stimulus policies are out. And there was a clear choice made in late 2008 that governments would, in fact, reheat those policies and spend aggressively in an effort to get demand pumping again, and it's worked. I mean, if you look across the Western economies, you'll see that apart from Britain, almost every economy is back in a growth phase. And so in aggregate, you'd have to say they made the right call.
I think it's actually quite early to judge whether it actually worked or not, because a lot of it was really like a flash in the pan. You look at the stimulus packages in Europe, for example, where you paid for demolishing old cars and buying new cars. And now we see that the European car industry is in dire straits because basically all the demand for this year has already been taken out last year. So whether that actually worked, all the stimulus, is something to be seen in the long run. But I think it's too early to judge.
What about when governments choose to wind back? I mean, it occurs to me that if you're a government, if you're in government, if you run government, unless you have a very strong ideological position about how small governments should be, it's difficult, isn't it, to say, well, actually, now we're going to do less. Oliver?
Well, sometimes it shouldn't be too difficult, because if you just have a look at the fiscal figures around the world, you look at Britain, for example, with a budget deficit of £178 billion, that's 12.7% of their GDP. You look at Greece, a country in very difficult times at the moment. They have no choice. They have to wind back if they don't want to risk a sovereign default in the near future.
David, how should we measure the size of government? It occurs to me there's several different ways of doing this.
Well, the conventional way is the share of government spending within gross domestic product or national income. And what you'll see over the last couple of decades is that has progressively increased, driven by things like health spending, which grows generally faster than GDP, and which citizens expect government to pick up a considerable share of the tab for. So it's a bit of a furphy to say that this big government is back with a vengeance, because in fact what we've had over 20 or 30 years now is sizable governments growing gradually, because modern life is complex and citizens expect a lot from their state.
What about the reach of government, though? That's a different thing. That's about government being involved in areas that perhaps it wasn't involved 2 years ago.
That's right. And there are arguments about the extent to which government activity or intervention impinges on civil liberties. And I think what you can see is instances where government intervention has worked very well. And you look at things like seatbelts and drink driving, which have dramatically cut road tolls. And then you can look at other instances where government intervention has failed. And what tends to happen is that those latter instances are the ones that get picked up and used as a big stick to hit governments around the head.
Do you think, I'll ask both of you this, but you first, David, has our faith in a larger government been tested by the poor implementation of the home insulation and green loan schemes, for example?
I don't think so. I mean, I think if you look at the Green Homes policy, that's been part of a much, much larger fiscal stimulus plan, which in the main has worked. Australia, as we know, has survived the global financial crisis better than pretty much any other country in the world. And this particular policy, the Green Homes policy, has been managed badly. There's no question about that. What you tend to see in an instance where governments need to inject fiscal stimulus under immense time pressure is that some of it will be done well and some of it will be done poorly. And obviously the trick is to get the great majority of it done as well as you can.
What about you, Oliver? What do you think?
Well, I'm afraid that the home insulation fiasco shows you everything that is wrong with government fiscal stimulus, because that was actually promised as one of these shovel-ready policies. And now we see that year on, they are winding back that policy only to reintroduce another one in June at the time when the Australian economy is definitely on the road to recovery, when the RBA is about to tighten interest rates even further, and when fiscal policy doesn't work together with monetary policy. But on a wider note, I would say that we didn't really need this government fiasco now to show us that bigger government does not work. Prior to this program, I've had a look at a number of empirical studies, and I didn't find a single one confirming that a bigger government goes together with stronger growth. Quite the opposite is true. The bigger the government, the slower the economy grows.
It's interesting, isn't it, about how we feel about the size of government. This isn't America, where there's a kind of default position about government getting out of the way. Do you think in this election year, Oliver, that we will start to feel that government's too big?
Well, it very much depends on what kind of position the two major parties are going to take on this. At the moment, it seems that we've got a choice between two parties that basically believe in a bigger federal government with different priorities, but nevertheless, still both sides of politics actually play the same big government game.
Actually, yes. The size of government grew under John Howard, didn't it?
Well, yes, I mean, it stayed largely stable, I would say, but we've had the big increase in the Whitlam years, and ever since it's basically been stable for about 3.5 decades.
On Life Matters today, I'll just remind people what we're doing. Got the two economists on, David Hetherington from Per Capita, Oliver Hartwich from the Centre for Independent Studies. We're talking about this whole big government, small government idea, which has had a bit of press lately, especially in The Economist. David, now, as I understand what I've read of what you've written, you would argue that it grew under Howard, wouldn't you, the size of government?
Yes, it did. I mean, going back to government as a share of GDP, in John Howard's government, it hit the highest point that it had in 30 years. So I think the statistics show quite clearly that we had the biggest government then that we'd had in living memory. But that's, as I said earlier, a function of the complexity of society, of the demands of the electorate. And in a sense, I think we're asking the wrong question. It's not whether big government is bad and small government is good. Surely what we're after is smart government. And what we should be judging both parties on is the quality of their intervention, not the scale of it.
I'm afraid that's an easy way out. We're not talking about smart versus dumb government. Nobody wants dumb government, but I want a smart government that is still a small government.
But there's no intrinsic reason why small government is better. Governments behave poorly. Governments behave positively in different circumstances. So do private markets. There's no evidence that small government, free market economies work better.
Yes, I disagree with the earlier point. There's enough evidence. If you just go through the working papers, for example, published by Lutger Schuknecht and Vito Tanzi at the European Central Bank, you see a lot of empirical evidence.
And what you would see in there is data from the years between 2001 and 2007, where it appeared that Western economies were growing at a tremendous pace. And what we've found in hindsight is that it's all been chimerical.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk about what's coming up politically. I've already touched on our election, and I'll come back to that. But Oliver, the UK has an election, of course, in May. Mm-hmm. Is there much difference between David Cameron's view of the size and role of government and Gordon Brown's?
Well, I wish there was. Unfortunately, I mean, I worked relatively close to David Cameron when I was still living in London, and I still haven't really got a clear idea what he stands for. He really tries to shy the big questions. He had a poster campaign early this year where he said, "I'll cut the deficit, not the NHS. Well, that sounds too good to be true, because actually the NHS is one of the big positions in the British budget. So if he doesn't want to cut the NHS, then he has really no chance of actually making big impact on the budget deficit.
There is actually a bigger difference, isn't there, David, between Tony Abbott and Kevin Rudd?
I'm not sure. I think both Tony Abbott and Kevin Rudd, in the main, favour big government. If you look at the climate change policy, what you see is that Tony Abbott criticised Kevin Rudd for a great big tax on everything, yet the direct action subsidy-based program that Abbott is offering is big government in another form. And I think what we're seeing both in the UK and here is a phenomenon whereby citizens expect an enormous amount from their governments.
Yes, perhaps, less tax, but more services,
that's
please.
Exactly right. And perhaps what we should be doing is asking harder questions about where government money is used for long-term investment as opposed for short-term consumption. I think that's one of the hard questions that politicians on both sides should be asking.
Let's talk about, just briefly, one of the, I suppose, peculiarities of our federal system. Oliver, the new national school curriculum's launched today in Canberra. In Australia, we are seeing a bigger role for the federal government in education, maybe in health in the future. In the environment, but the size of state government bureaucracies isn't decreasing. If Canberra's taking on more, should the state's spending and workforces be getting smaller?
Well, I think we have to rephrase the question slightly. Should the federal government actually take on more? And I have doubts about that, because I think the competitive pressures that you get out of working federalism are something that we should try to harvest and to cherish, actually. Because federalism is a good thing, because it keeps government reinventing itself. It provides competition between state governments. And instead of actually moving powers to Canberra and to the federal government, I think we should actually give powers back to local communities and to the states.
I'm not sure the states are a great illustration of competitive pressure. I think what you see there is something more along the lines of a cartel.
Well, I was just thinking, say, that the New South Wales Department of Education, education's clearly heading more for a national approach under this government. The New South Wales Department of Education is one of the largest bureaucracies in the world. So, at the moment, it doesn't seem to be getting any smaller. What about this whole debate over the size of government? How relevant is it in terms of the election? Is it going to figure in the top five concerns of voters, David?
I don't think it is. I think you'll see the bread and butter issues, the economy, health, education, potentially climate change up there on the list. I think the size of government question is really one for the ideological purists. And I think, as I said earlier, citizens are after smart government and probably more services than they are a particular percentage of GDP.
Oliver, what do you think?
Well, I think people should care about that, because if they only had to look around the world, they would see what happens when government continuously spends too much and takes on too many roles and takes too many powers and too many liberties away from the citizens. If we only look at what happened in some European countries, in Japan and in America, we should be very, very careful not to go down that route, because in the long run, this is actually destroying the foundation on which we can build jobs.
All right, gentlemen, that is where we'll leave it. Thank you both of you for joining me today.
Thank you, Richard.
And more from Oliver and David next month. David Hetherington, of course, is Executive Director of the Progressive Think Tank Per Capita, and Oliver Hartwich is Research Fellow with the Free Market Centre for Independent Studies.